Thursday, October 6th. This is the Hermetic Hour. I'm your host, Pope Runyon. And tonight, we will review and describe our recently reprinted and updated publications. That's the Book of Solomon's Magic for our associated members and the first of the new seventh rays, the Blue Ray, the new material on Enochian Book H and the OTH Geomancy system. Now, we will also discuss the recently reprinted Book of Solomon's Magic, as I said, is now issued to members with an updated addendum. And we will also review our entire line of publications and productions available to the general public through Amazon and to associate members, from our own address. So if you want to know what we have to offer and what we have and what you've been missing and you need to catch up on, then catch up on our latest preview and what we have coming up in the future. So let's start off by a little review of our publications to begin with, and then we'll discuss the new addendums and reprints. Now, we started off with back in 1972, in the spring of 1972, with our little pamphlet journal called The Seventh Ray. Now, this was, as you know, I've been around quite a while, and I'm sure that hardly anybody out there listening remembers the old science fiction fanzines, we called them, fan magazines that the fans, or the fan, as they used to call themselves, back in when I was a teenager. Back then, that was back in the 1950s and 60s. So in those days, what we did, we didn't have any computers, of course. We didn't have desktop publishing as we have it now, but we did have a lot of young people who were science fiction fans, and we had local science fiction clubs, of course. And we're just starting to develop science fiction conventions at that time. And all of these little clubs all around the country, these what they called fanzines. And the way we did them was we typed them with typewriters. We typed up the stories with typewriters, and then we photo offset them. At our local print shops, we used the photo offset process, paper plates, and we published them in pamphlet form. And the way you do that, of course, is you take standard 8.5 by 11 regular typewriter paper stock, and you print it on you turn it sideways, what's referred to as landscape. And you print, and you fold in the middle, or you divide it in the middle, and you print one page on one side, and then the next page, you don't print the next page on the next side. You make a booklet out of these folded 8.5 by 11 sheets, and then you make up a dummy, dummy copy. Just for the printer to go by, and so he knows where to print the pages, and then you lay out the typescript and whatever illustrations, because this is photo offset, you can use black and white illustrations, and then we would take our do our illustrations and pencil them, of course, and then ink them in just like a comic book, and then paste them. And you could also use photographs if you screened them, if you created what we called a Velox, and that was a half tone screen. You could actually do photographs. And so we did We did these fanzines, as I say, back when I was a kid in the 50s and 60s, and they were, some of them were quite attractive, so that's when we first got started. We started the OTA, the Ordre Templo Astarte, here in Southern California, we started in Topanga Canyon and then went to Pasadena, and we know once we got started that we were going to have to, you know, publish a journal, because we had contacts all over the country in the pagan, the neo-pagan community, and you know, some people in the witchcraft community and whatever, and a very few people in what was then the magical community, which was just getting, well, magical community at that time had been suffering a number of scandals and problems and not the least of which was the Manson situation. But we had enough contacts, and, you know, we had made contact with my mentor and our sister lodge, Ferraferia, Fred Adams, you know, who was my mentor and also the mentor of Lady Jo Carson. I think Joe is probably on board with us tonight. So we knew that we had to publish a little journal. And I used that format that we had used for science fiction magazines. And Fred and Svetlana and Culver and Ferraferia, they did use the same format. And they came out with Corathalia, which was on the same fanzine pamphlet format. And as I said, we used typewriters, and we were able to do our artwork and our various graphics and whatever, which are essential in the magical journal, and reproduce them in the photo offset format. So that's what we did in 1972, and we started off, and we did it quarterly. We had this little magazine quarterly, and we actually developed very, very shortly on, because we had good contacts around the country and around the world. We developed a circulation very quickly of about 300 issues every quarter. We would send out about 300 of these seventh rays. I still have at least one complete set of all these seventh rays. The rest of them, you know, have all been sold out. We finally started doing facsimiles and photocopy facsimiles, but that was kind of didn't work out very well for one reason. We did something that was very unusual with that pamphlet of ours, and we used different colored paper. And this is something that the other people didn't do. In fact, the old science fiction fan people hadn't done it. They did everything on white paper, and we would get a two different colored paper, a color coordinated. Cover stock, and then we used a colored interior that was a shade off. So it was a very, very attractive little book, and we were sending them out all over the world. We had people over in England that were subscribing. We had people in Africa even that were subscribing. We had people in back in those days, we had people in countries in Europe, all over Europe, whatever. But so that was the original seventh ray. Now, we intend, and we have been saying, that we're going to republish that old original seventh ray. We have a new one, of course, that came out in 1999. We republished the first of the new seventh ray issues, and I will read the introduction to that one. And we've all, and also, as I say, as we said earlier, we have just reprinted that one. The third time we've reprinted that 1999 seventh ray, the Blu-ray. We kind of in a way hearkening back to our different colored pamphlets originally. What we did when when the Seventh Ray was reborn in 1999, we decided that we would do a very prestigious looking occasional journal. We weren't going to do it quarterly anymore. Actually, we'd given up the old quarterly idea about halfway through our run in 1972. You know, we finally stopped in 1978. We found for various reasons, which I'll explain in the introduction to the new one. But we decided to kind of invoke the old color scheme idea and do the new Seventh Ray on sand colored interior stock and a parchment board cover, we'd use different colored ink on the parchment cover. And the parchment cover, by the way, looks kind of like the National Geographic in a way. It has the contents, it has the logo up top, the Seventh Ray logo, and then the different articles are stacked in a column right down below the logo, surrounded by two pomegranate wands replicated from the Temple of Solomon and surrounded by snakes, or you want to call it, with coil snakes around them. And we have the old Seventh Ray logo from the original pamphlet, and this one in 1999. It was first printing was February 1999, and the second printing was October 2006, and his last third printing September 2016, and that's with the new addendum. Now, so we have below the Seventh Ray logo and between the two snakes and the wands on either side, we have featuring Book H, Clavicula Tabulara Minoci by W.N. Westcott, The Last Great Secret Document of the Golden Dawn, with a commentary. And then next we have Ethers of Aphrodite by Frederick McLaren Adams, and that's Raising Erotic Magic to the Heights of Spirituality, and that's a beautiful article by my mentor, Fred Adams. And then following that, the Divine Numata by Hal von Hoff. This is the Sabaean planetary rituals from Picatrix reconstructed. Now, as I'm sure you all know, the Picatrix is now available after all these years in both translated from the Arabic and translated from the Spanish to Latin version into English. So you can have both Picatrixes, but we were the first ones. We were the first ones to publish significant material from the Picatrix in English for the American occult community, and it's primarily the Sabaean material, the Sabaean prayers. And next, following that, we have Ceremonial Geomancy by an article by myself, Paleolithic and Biblical Origins of OTA's Unique Geomancy System. And that's one we have now, this latest reprint, we have published an addendum to that. We have an addendum to Book H, and we also have an addendum to Ceremonial Geomancy. And I'll explain both of those, why we have them. Then following that, we had Adamson's Quest, Chapter 9, Escape from Utopia by myself, and The Continuing Adventures of the First and Final Fool on the Old Omniet Zero. And that is our novel that we ran in the Seventh Ray, and we started back in the Seventh Ray back in 1973, and have been in the old pamphlet style, and we've been continuing it ever since. And we are just about to publish Adamson's Quest, the first volume of Adamson's Quest, will be published hopefully this year. We're already having it digitized and getting ready to go with it. And then After that, we had Hera and Zeus by Lady Svetlana Feraferia, an article called United World Mythology by Frater Solomon, and we had a satire on occult conspiracies by my Frater Shem, Mike Tolley, and then we had a memorial article for Lynn Carter, who was the fantasy editor of Ballantine Books, who gave us J.R.R. Tolkien and numerous other fantasy books, and was my personal mentor in science fiction and fantasy back when I was growing up. And then after that, we had that infamous patter song poem, Gilbert Sullivan type patter song or poem, There Ain't No Necronomicon. And, you know, that one really, really bothered the Lovecraft fans because it was a send up in Gilbert and Sullivan style. It was a send up on the Necronomicon. And then we had the magical fiction reading list, which all the magical fiction that we suggested that you ought to read. And we've just updated that by adding one of the most important ones that we had forgotten, and that's James Branch Campbell's sensational novel, Jurgen, which was Crowley's favorite American novel. And also had a chapter that was inspired by the Gnostic Mass. And we just did a show on that fairly recently. And so we've added that to the list. So what I'm going to do right now, while we're on this subject, when it's on the subject of the seventh ray, I'm going to read the introduction to the, and then I will read parts of the new material that we've just added to it. And by the way, this is, the seventh ray is now available. It was out of print for a little while, and that caused the book scalpers on Amazon to ask outrageous prices for it. But it's now back to a reasonable price on Amazon, so you can get the Blu-ray again because it's back and it has the new material. Okay, now after a short absence of 20 years, we're back. To be more specific, the seventh ray has returned. The Order of the Temple of Astarte continued its work during the last two decades without interruption. Now, remember, this is 1999. We have opened another lodge on the East Coast, produced a remarkable video on ceremonial magic, published two books on our system, and a third on the Golden Dawn Cipher manuscript. Many of our new readers will not remember the original Seventh Ray. It was a pamphlet-sized quarterly that first appeared in the spring of 1972. In those ancient times, before the advent of desktop publishing, professional typesetting was prohibitively expensive. In those days, the Green Egg, Feraferia's Corifolia, and our Seventh Ray were handmade publications. We used two typewriters. One had an italic typeface for variety, and the old C7R was especially attractive because it was heavily illustrated with original artwork and because we selected a different combination of colored paper and cover stock for each issue. Page count varied between 14 and 30 pages in 8-point type, so we squeezed a lot in, and the last two issues were the longest. With issue number 20, fall-winter 1978, we went from a quarterly to a biannual schedule. However, number 20 turned out to be our final publication, at least for that cycle. In 1979, I was maintaining a career position in industry, suffering through the demands of a graduate school thesis preparation, and trying to cope with a tragic illness in my immediate family, and there was simply no time or energy to continue publishing the seventh ray. Now there is time and energy and a great deal of worthwhile material that we would like to share with our old and new friends. However, this time, the seventh ray is not going to become an obligation. We are reviving it as an occasional journal, and we will individually advertise each issue as a separate publication. We plan to print each volume's cover in a different color on the same parchment cardstock. This present number, book one, is the blue ray. We will maintain the original flavor of T7R with its logo and distinctive art cuts, such as From the Archives, Book Reviews, What is the OTA, and of course, our traditional cartoon. A new chapter of my serialized magical novel, Adamson's Quest, is included, with a detailed synopsis for those unfamiliar with the story. This issue features what must be considered the last great unpublished secret document of the Golden Dawn's Enochian, Clavicula Tabularum Enochi, or Enochii, or Book H. And this was Wynne Westcott's edited and abridged version of an anonymous 17th century manuscript from which the G.D. Enochian magical system was derived. We are indebted to our late Frater David G. Kennedy, Frater Labora Locum, for his typed transcription of this document. The commentary accompanying Book H is my own contribution, with assistance and advice from the renowned Enochian scholar Frater Gollum Clutchin. Now, that's Clay Holden, actually. It's a kind of a play on words on Clay Holden. T7R Book 1 also features a landmark piece by America's most distinguished neo-pagan elder, Frederick Adams of Farfaria. His Ethers of Aphrodite is a classic of Western Erato spiritual meditation. Its theme is the reception and proprioception of the pneuma in a process of introspective personal alchemy. Lady Svetlana of Farfaria likewise favored us with the original offering Hera and Zeus. I hope that our publication of these elegant contributions will focus attention on the real history of the neo-pagan movement in America. Those who forget their elders have no tradition. The next treat we have in store is the Divine Pneumata by the Magister of Adiocentian Lodge, OTA. That's no longer active, by the way. Worshipful Hal von Hope, a PhD, Frater Zamazius, a.k.a. Frater I-D-O-M-M-E, and that's not to be confused with Zamazius, who was or perhaps still is Grandmaster of the OTO. This is the magical quintessence of the fabulous medieval Arabic Picatrix, the Iranian Sabaean planetary rites complete with all the symbolism and instructions necessary for practice. And having experienced these invocations with Frater I-D-O-M-M-E presiding, I can attest to their effectiveness. This article is a magical treasure. Now, even if you have, by the way, even if you have either Warnock and Greer's Picatrix or the one from Ouroboros, you still need to have this one, because this one it tells you how to use the Picatrix material, and believe me, it's worth it. Now, Ceremonial GMSC is the first revelation of the OTA's unique, historically researched, simplified, and proven effective method of geomantic divination. And after trying our system, you will be convinced and delighted. Now, let me say this about that. In pursuit of my master's degree in cultural anthropology, I had to struggle through statistics, something that you can't, as a social scientist, you cannot avoid. And of course, you know, statistics, as we have said many, many times, is the new black magic. You can prove anything by statistics, especially using polls. And anyway, in the statistics class, we use in these statistical populations calculating whatever. we used dice. And in fact, my statistics book had an article on the origins of dice, and they were called originally Astraea, and the text.